Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our Revelation studies with a look at conditions during the millennial kingdom. Our base text is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, but our study will take us into the Psalms and also into the book of Isaiah as well. We invite your letters with questions, comments, or prayer requests by email at bbbfohio@yahoo.com or by sending your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That email address again is 3Bs and the letter F, Ohio at yahoo.com or the P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we will go ahead and begin our study of the conditions in the millennial kingdom with a word of prayer as offered at the beginning of our study. We're going to be again in discussion of the millennium after we open with a word of prayer. And since all of you are got your mouth full, I'll just go ahead and open with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship, and Lord, we're glad that the pizza showed up and that everyone's able to enjoy themselves and great fellowship. And we're just thankful for the great singing and everything, Lord, just for your glory. You're pleased with us when we get together as a family and lift up the name of Jesus and open this book. And we just pray now the Holy Spirit would be our guide as we look at what's to come in the future kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, y'all sitting around just kind of eating and hanging out, you know? You can do this at your home. You can just sit around, eat, and talk about the Lord. And the millennium is a great topic for, you know, because you want, when you're sitting around eating, you want to stay away from topics like politics because you don't want heartburn. Amen? And, you know, you have to be very careful the different topics that you choose to talk about, because when you got a kid in the house who went to veterinarian school, he can come and into the dinner table and say things that will upset his mother. I'm talking from experience.
Great dinner conversations.
Yes, great dinner conversations. And I'm moving over a little more. I'm trying to get in the screen so they know there's actually a preacher.
Do you want me to move the camera?
Nah. It's actually set up right. I just didn't have myself standing in the right place. But this study is about the conditions during the millennial kingdom. And that picture is just one of many where people have drawn a picture of what Jerusalem will look like. That's not the new Jerusalem. There's a Jerusalem. We'll get into that in the next study. But there's going to be a temple. And that temple, do you notice, you see where the temple is? You notice there's no Dome of the Rock?
Amen.
Amen. And we'll talk about that more in the future. Oh, before we get into the study, I have another important announcement. There's going to be a homegoing celebration for... Somebody help Tom back there. He's breaking down. Get him some tissue. Get him some tissue. He's broke up. And oh, you're not crying. I thought you were weeping.
Went back to the earth. Wait. It deserves a Burt Reynolds laugh.
This is Animal Kingdom Ministries in Cincinnati. It's really the hymnal is going to be Hakuna Matata. And they're going to have scripture reading, the Old Testament, Clifford the Big Red Dog. And the prayer of comfort will be by Smokey the Bear.
Actually, Smokey.
You can prevent gorillas being shot. What, Charlie? I'm grieving. You have to give me time. Now listen. Listen. I'm just going to say this. I am not happy that the gorilla got shot, and I'm not making, you know, I'm not really trying to make light of that. But listen, you think about how crazy this country has become. It was Memorial Day weekend, and everybody sat around screaming and yelling and cussing at each other because I saw what people were saying on Facebook. There were people actually having, like, family fights over this. Okay? Now, I don't care what you say. That little boy is more important than the gorilla.
Amen.
It's a shame the gorilla had to be shot.
Amen.
Pass the salt.
Amen, brother.
Why you got to argue about it? I don't understand that. But anyway, if you want to go to the service, there it is. Oh! I had to show you that. You just never know what they did with that gorilla. Anyway, back to the book. Now that I've lost all of your attention.
And credibility.
Listen, in the millennium, if you love animals, do you understand? They're not going to be shooting gorillas. Amen?
Amen.
And in the millennium, families aren't going to argue over stupid stuff. Amen. And we're going to see that the kingdom reign is a return to the conditions of the Garden of Eden. We're going to see some of that in this study. We're going to see it some of it in another. And this is what I love about this study, is that you realize God put Adam and Eve, two real historical figures, they really existed. He put them in a garden that was perfect. And He had the stated intention of giving all of us that. And if you miss it, it's only because you chose to miss it.
Amen.
But if you want to experience life in a Garden of Eden, then be saved. If you're saved, you're going to be in this millennial kingdom. And for our visitors, I just want to say this. The thing about the millennium that I think is most important for people to understand is that it shows you that the Bible teaches some very solid and factual things about what we call heaven.
Amen.
It's not just some pie in the sky thing. Amen. It is as real as this room you're in right now.
Amen.
Now, we're going to open with the verse in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. And we've been there a couple of times before, but it's in light of this that we want to start our study. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, read that with me. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now look up there, this word serpent, what's that tell you? That means to understand this, you got to go back to Genesis. And if you haven't read Genesis, you don't understand a lot in the Bible. He's called the serpent here to remind you that all this started in the garden. And the fall is the only reason we have to spend time every Sunday and Wednesday praying for people who have cancer.
Right.
Praying for people who lose family members. Praying for people, even the things talk about our jobs and the things we go through at work, it's usually the flesh. It's a result of the fall. The devil and Satan, just so you know, now he's going to be bound 1,000 years, and the effect this will have on our planet cannot be understated. It will be wonderful.
Amen.
Just the fact that that devil, who is a real person, and he's a real bad person, he is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and it will be wonderful. Just not having him here. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you do, I just want to throw this in here so you understand, everything you do, when you commit sin, you're responsible for that. Don't, what is that comedian that used to say that?
The devil made me.
Flip Wilson, yeah. Some preachers preach Flip Wilson doctrine. theology. Everything's to blame. Everything you do, you blame on the devil. No, you have a sinful nature.
Amen.
And you make choices, and that's why we're going to see that during this time, there will be people make wrong choices. There will be people do things that are wrong. It won't be like it is now. And it will be dealt with swiftly. But even without the devil on the planet, there will be trouble enough just because of human nature, the flesh. Now, I want you to turn over, if you got a minute. If you got a minute. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. And one of the reasons we're running some references, but the reason why this thing about the conditions of the millennium and other things we're talking about, there's no way you can cover it in just two or three studies. And it's just weird to me that I went to church for about 15 years before I went to a church where a preacher opened up this the Bible and taught what the millennium was going to be like. And I was amazed by it. And then there was a Christian publication, actually two of them, that put all these scriptures, and I wish I had that. I lost it. We had a little local disaster, a flood that wiped out a bunch of my books and things. But I had these two lists of all the facts about the millennium. And I thought, well, it's just weird to me. As a Christian, when I got saved, I expected that this is the kind of thing we'd learn about. And so many churches you go to, there's no discussion about it. It's a sad thing. Satan will no longer be around to foment wars. Instead, we will be ruled by the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
With Jesus in charge, if you look at Psalm 72, verses 2 and 3, read that with me. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. Now, there's in there that phrase, he will bring peace to the people. Oh, does that look a little fuzzy to you?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if I can. There we go.
Nice.
Do not adjust your TV set. Isn't it nice to think about Jesus being in charge?
Yeah.
He'll judge thy people with righteousness, thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people. There, folks. I know a lot of people think you're being a pessimist when you say that, but it's just not going to be world peace before that.
Amen.
The best thing you can do is not add to the trouble. You can control you, and you can do what's right and treat people fairly and all that. But as far as this world is concerned, you think about the World War I was fought as the war to end all wars. And if you know history, you know how many wars there's been since then. The United Nations was formed in order to try to put an end to war. Fail, big time. And they're not going to succeed. There is a reason that Jesus is called Prince of Peace. It's blasphemous, folks, when you hear men referred to by that title. And there have been some men that people have actually given that title to. There's only one Prince of Peace, only one who's going to bring peace. Now, I want to put this footnote in here. Jesus does not turn into a pacifist hippie when he returns.
Amen.
We're not going to have peace because Jesus is so cool, man. And, you know,
amen.
Everybody, let's just love each other. Let's all just get along and hold hands and sing, right? I don't want to give you the wrong idea. It's important you understand something. There will be an end of oppression.
Amen.
But look what verse 4 says. Read it. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor.
Amen.
He ain't no pacifist hippie. He's going to say, you know what? Get your hands off that person or die.
Amen.
That's Jesus. Amen. That's the Jesus that the world doesn't want to hear about, but it's the Jesus I love.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves me.
Amen.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But in the millennium, if you do wrong, he's going to kill you before too long.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. That's it right there. Peace through strength.
Amen.
Now, they give Reagan credit for that, and he did have that policy, and we need that again. Amen, amen, amen. But that is the policy that has been in the Bible for 2,000 years, predicting in more than 2,000 years, if you go back to these Old Testament writings, predicting that that's how the Messiah is going to bring peace.
Amen.
I'm going to say something, and we have new people here are new. They I don't want them to get the wrong idea, but I'm just telling you the truth, that what this world needs in order to have world peace is a world dictator.
Amen.
But not a man.
Amen. Lord. Amen.
It's got to be God.
Amen.
As man, sitting on a throne, ruling as a dictator.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
King over all, King of kings. That's why they call him that.
Amen.
And until God, as a man, sits on a throne as King of kings and Lord of lords, we're not going to have peace.
Amen.
But it's coming. You remember that passage in Jude? It says, some save with fear and others with compassion. Everybody here, everybody in this age, our generation, they don't like that part. They only like the part that says save with compassion. So, you know, the preachers, all they ever preach is compassion and lovey-dovey sermons and try to save people with love. Man, you know, preachers used to know that they had to also save some with fear.
Amen.
Preachers used to preach about heaven, not your best life now, but what's in heaven, what we're talking about tonight, and hell.
Amen.
Listen, if you don't believe in hell, you ain't got any business believing in heaven.
Amen.
Same book, talking about the same two places. If you don't believe in one, you have no reason to believe in the other. There's going to be both. And they shall fear thee. That's Jesus during the millennium.
Amen.
They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations.
Amen.
This will result in permanent global prosperity.
Amen.
How many of you understand that the only reason that every country on the earth isn't as prosperous as the United States of America is because other nations have dictators and rulers who purposely starve their people?
Amen.
There is not a food problem on the planet.
Amen.
There is a distribution problem.
Amen.
And the answer isn't socialism.
Amen.
The answer is to get rid of corruption.
Amen.
And when the free market without corruption works, then everybody would be, well, they'd all look like me. Amen.
Amen.
Fat and sassy. So we're going to have a return to Eden in the millennium. Verse 6 says this, read it. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. The presence of God and of Jesus Christ, His Spirit, is just going to completely fill the earth. In His days shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth.
Amen.
The pathway to peace and prosperity is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's not being so fleshly minded that you can only think about your bank account right now, but you think in long term. You think in the fact that, as Jesus said, you store your treasures in heaven, not just here on earth. I mean, we've had some very wealthy people in the last, well, the actress, I can't remember her name now, she was on she was in that movie with Bill Murray called Groundhog Day. You remember the scene where he's in the hotel room? The lady in the hotel room says, "Will you be leaving today?" And they play that over and over. She was very well known actress on stage and was very wealthy. 80 some years old, died, and there's no evidence the woman knew Jesus. That does her nothing.
That's right.
If you, as a Christian, serve the Lord with love, loving Him and loving all souls and loving your brethren, and you serve Him out of that kind of heart, you are going to take it with you.
Amen.
Not your bank account. You're going to take all those works and you're going to be rewarded. And so that's what it comes down to being a Christian, is how real is it to you?
Amen.
It really is what it comes down to. How real is it to you? Peace and prosperity is all these books. You ever go to the bookstore and look at all the books about how to have, you know, personal peace, peace within, self-help books, and all these about prosperity, how to get rich, 12 steps to, I just spit popcorn, 12 steps to, that's a Ruckman joke, 12 steps to prosperity. And that all these, you go into some bookstores and they'll have four different Bibles on the lower shelf. But they'll have a whole row on how to get rich. It's an amazing thing. They've been selling those books, I mean, going back to when, you know, printing first started, I think. But all through the 20th century, the Dale Carnegies and people like that sold books telling people how to win friends and influence people and all that stuff. I know all kinds of people read that stuff, and they were poor as church mice. I mean, it never benefited them one bit. And they spent their life chasing that. Whereas there were other really church mice, literally, who were poor. But when they died, they went to a place where they will experience prosperity like you can't imagine here.
Yes.
And it's forever.
Yeah.
So as we read, or as we read in our previous study in Isaiah 9:7, you don't have to turn there. We've read this a couple times. We just want to remind you, it says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom. As we were talking about last study, that war at the end of the millennium is going to just, it's going to be a short, tiny little blip on the map. They're all going to gather against Jesus, and they don't realize how quick He's going to put an end to it.
Amen.
To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, there's a whole bunch of unsaved people out there. They're activists. They spend all their time as activists. And they're trying to fix this world. And it's just a weird thing, because when you talk to them, you try to show them, hey, God's all about justice. But they're not interested in God's way.
Amen.
They want justice their way. Turn over to Isaiah 60 if you have another minute. Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to go to another place in Isaiah, so we'll be in that book for a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 60, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And before we jump in there, I just want to say that as an introduction, the millennium can be represented by one main word. Light. Light. There's not going to be darkness. There's not going to be spiritual darkness. There's not going to be how many of you go places and it's like when you drive and you cross the city limits or the county line, you can feel it. Darkness. Westerville. Can I get a witness? There's two of you.
Rochester, New York.
I was here. Friend was Salt Lake City, Utah, Seattle, Washington, I've heard. Now, I haven't been there. A friend of mine was telling me about Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And in a lot of these areas, you go down into Hocking. That place has always given me the creeps. Now, there's a couple places down there that are nice. Don't get me wrong. But when I would get in there and we would go certain places, and I would just, what is that? It just makes me feel uncomfortable. You find out they've got covens out there, and they've got all kinds of witchcraft and the occult out there. And so there's something to that. In the millennium, you can go anywhere and you're going to feel the light.
Amen.
It'll be So light on every level. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, we're talking about the millennium. And this was a song that some of you might remember singing. Arise, shine, verse 1, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Any of you remember that song? It was back in the early 90s, I think it was. It was a song that came out that sang that. That is telling you that the millennial kingdom is a time when the light of God has come to the earth and the glory of the Lord is risen upon it. We can't imagine what we're reading right now. You can't even imagine it. And this is the next verse is going to show us the transition. We go from tribulation darkness to millennial light. Listen, all this darkness you're seeing today, it is preparing the world for the ultimate dark age. That tribulation that's to come, 7 years, Daniel's 70th week, and it will transition like this. It'll take us into a kingdom of the light of God. Verse 2, read that. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Just like that. You're going to have darkness like man has never experienced before, and then Jesus comes back and light will envelop the entire planet. That's an amazing thing. The next verse says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. I'm reading this and I've had dreams. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I had a dream and, you know, this is a word from the Lord or anything like that. But you ever had dreams where you wake up and you just think, wow, if heaven is anything like I just saw in my dream, I want to go past the Kool-Aid. Just kidding. But
you don't serve Kool-Aid.
But this is why... People have asked me why I don't believe these books where people say they've gone to heaven. I don't believe those. Because I believe like Paul. I mean, Paul was caught up in the third heaven. I think he's talking about himself. And he wanted to go. And you read the Bible, more and more you read it, man, it looks like Paul basically said, I'm ready to go. And he could have made decisions that may have prolonged his life. And I've heard other teachers, including Dr. McGee and Dr. Ruckman and a couple other people, who said that they believe that Paul wanted to die. And that he made the choices in the book of Acts, if you're reading and you're paying attention, you're like, this doesn't really make sense why he's doing this. Yeah, it does. He's ready to go. And he knew he was going to go to Rome and die. Yeah, there's never a place where we see God saying, Paul, you need to go to Rome. And I'm not saying it's not an accusation of sin. It's just a matter of choice. And I believe Paul decided, you know what? I've seen where I'm going. And I'm ready to go. I really believe that. Turn back a few pages to Isaiah chapter 11. Just a few more minutes. Isaiah chapter 11.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.